The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Right now, we're going to talk about something that happened 50 years ago in this country. The Dublin Monaghan bombings, 34 lives lost in those awful, awful tragedies. Take a listen to this.
All the explosions were caused by car bombs so familiar to people north of the border. There was no way they could have been placed without the intention to kill innocent bystanders. The three in Dublin exploded almost simultaneously, so there was no possibility of them not being planned to go off at peak rush hour. The bomb in Monaghan went off an hour later and just as deadly. Father Piers Duggan attended the victims.
I would say that altogether I ministered to about 20 or 22 altogether.
And how many people did you administer the last rites to?
I would have administered the last rites to all of those, but there would have been about 9 or 10 of those dead.
Hysterical crowds didn't know which way to turn and traffic chaos developed.
There's a man lying, his two legs were mutilated, his side of his head was literally cut off. There was a young baby. She was like a rag doll. She was all torn to pieces.
It was like a battlefield. The first thing I saw was two bodies mangled into each other. There was also a body there, and it was decapitated. With a few of them, you could just actually see the life going out of them.
To the evil men who have perpetrated these deeds, we express the revulsion and condemnation which every decent person in this island feels at their unforgivable acts. The government are as yet unaware of the identity of those responsible for these crimes.
In Dublin and Monaghan, 33 lay dead and nearly 300 were injured. To this day, it remains the worst atrocity of the Troubles.
Yes, that was what people were listening to. They were hearing and seeing 50 years ago. 33 dead was the figure given there, 34 often reported to include one unborn child. The UVF, the Ulster Volunteer Force, ultimately claimed responsibility for those deadly attacks, amongst the deadliest of the Troubles. Tom Lawler is a professional photographer who was amongst the first on the scene when those bombs went off. And he's with me in studio. Tom, you're welcome to the show.
Thank you
for joining us. So can you talk us through your experience of that awful day?
Yeah, it was a Friday evening and there's a lot of pedestrians in the city because there was a bus strike on at the time. I had finished my assignments for the day and I was in the office talking to my boss, Gordon Standing, the pictures editor, as to what was coming up for the weekend and what we could expect at the weekend. And then suddenly I heard an explosion. I was in absolutely no doubt that this was a car bomb because I had worked in Northern Ireland previously. So the experience was there, that listening thing was there. So I ran from the office across O'Connell Bridge up towards the direction that the bang came from. I cut down the quays past the Abbey Theatre. And my idea was to go along Marlborough Street and get into Parnell Street, where I heard the bomb was located. And in the process of doing that, just as I'm crossing the end of Talbot Street, the bomb detonated. It was a huge flash. It was almost like a mushroom cloud appeared over the street. In a second or two, all the detritus from the street fell out of the air. And I got my camera ready, and the first picture I took was the citizens of Dublin running away from the bomb and running past me. So I went on, I continued on down to the centre where the bomb went off. And I was just simply surrounded by bodies lying all over the place as their souls were leaving them. And it was fairly scary to see it. Like, I would be fairly tuned to handle a certain amount of stuff, tough stuff, in the jobs I've been doing. But this was a test beyond belief. And added to that was the dilemma that my mother worked in a shop in Talbot Street called Breasts of Talbot Street. So I wasn't quite sure if the women who were lying dead all around the road, scattered around the place, that one of them might have been my mother. So I just pressed on taking the pictures. I could be of no help to the people who were lying there. I remember there was one shop window and there was three women. Their bodies were welded together. They were lying in the shop window amongst all the glass. And their bodies were blackened. But the labels on their underwear was still white against the blackened skin. And they died welded together in a window. And then on the pavement near the corner of Gardiner Street, there was a young girl lying down and her hair was moving. Her face was against the footpath. She had a flared skirt, coat around her waist, and she was lying there almost as if she was asleep, but her blood was filling the cracks of the pavement. When I got so much pictures taken there, I then continued on up to Parnell Street, and again the same picture had presented itself. Dead bodies everywhere. People were shocked, confused. Strangely enough, it seemed to be very silent. The city became very, very silent. And then on the odd occasion, you'd hear voices coming from the megaphone on a policeman's motorbike, barking out instructions. Mm. And then you'd hear the ambulances were being mobilised. They were starting to arrive to the occasions.
When you were in that situation, I mean... there's a certain amount of compartmentalization happens, you know, right? I'm conscious of what's happened. I'm conscious of my mother working here, but I've got to press on and take the photographs and do the professional thing. At what point in the day or when you're describing the scenes, as you move through all of that, do you realize just how huge an event this is?
Oh, immediately I knew.
Okay.
That this was a major news event. Then I got back to the newspaper and gave my film to Terry Thorpe and Mick Crowley to process in the darkroom. And the editor, Douglas Gageby, came into the darkroom, which was very unusual. And he was checking the prints as they were coming off the printer. And he was just repeating the same mantra. We can't use this. We can't use this. We can't use this. The images were so horrific.
Mm.
Even the guys like Mick Crowley and Terry Thorpe, they'd be tough guys handling images from all over the world coming in. So they're well-blooded. They're tuned into the viciousness of man to man. And they've seen it all. Even they were taken aback when they saw the images.
It's during the Troubles. So to a degree, this type of stuff, you know, is... We were more exposed to it on this island in 1974 than we are now, we'll put it that way. At the same time, when you see it in your own city, on some level, nothing probably prepares you for it.
It's probably strange that the accents are not normally in this situation. Like I was at the bomb outside Liberty Hall that was detonated when Cosgrave was dithering over a vote in the Dáil.
Mm.
I was at the bomb in Sackville Street where a bus man was killed. So there is, if you like, a procedure, a safety procedure when you're going into situations like this. You've got to be safe. At the same time, you have to get the picture. You have to get the shot. That's your job. But and that forces you on to probably do things and be in places that normally you would never want to be in.
Does it follow you around for long afterwards?
Oh, always. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 50 years ago and I would use Talbot Street quite a lot. And she's still there lying at the corner, that girl. I can still see her clearly in my mind's eye. And I was talking to Don Mullen about it, he who wrote the book on the Dublin and Monaghan bombings. And he said to me, I can identify her for you. I can tell you her name. I said, don't tell me her name.
Really?
I don't want to know her name. As far as I was concerned, in my mind's eye and in my memory, she represented every woman that was ever murdered through violence in this country. I saw her as a symbol rather than an individual. Now, I knew when I was looking at her that I knew she was dead, but there was a house somewhere that was expecting her home.
Yeah,
there were people, she had family, and they hadn't a clue that there was this photographer looking at their dead daughter on the corner of Talbot Street and Gardiner Street.
It's a way of, God, it's, you've put it in a way that I wouldn't have thought of or hadn't thought of before. You know that when you see something like that, that you know this before the family.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what's coming. You know what's coming for them. You know a phone call is coming at some stage or a knock on the door later today, and it's the worst one they'll ever get.
Yeah, they won't.
Their life will never be the same. Their life is about to change in ways they can never imagine. And you know it's coming.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah,
it's a strange.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's privilege, the right word. It's a strange position to be in.
Yeah, and sort of an innocent woman probably coming home from work, probably heading down to the station to get the train home because there were no buses. And suddenly, in a flash of dynamite, she becomes part of history.
What impact did it have on the city afterwards?
I don't know. I think the government were caught on the hop. I always got the impression that somehow they never had anticipated anything like this. And I think to myself, how foolish of them. They should have been expecting this. We're having a row at our neighbours up the road. We're having a row at our neighbours across the Irish Sea. Why did they not think that this was going to happen at some stage, irrespective of what it was going to, what they were going to hang it on, be it an anniversary or whatever? They were making their own new date in history. But I felt that the government were just never up to speed on this. Never up to speed. Not smart enough. Not international enough. And, I mean, look at them, for example, even today, our naval service has no men and loads of ships. It's so neglectful. We don't seem to be able to anticipate what might happen to us. I know we live in a kind of a peace moment, but things will happen to us. Things will happen to this country. And this, we should be able to anticipate it and prepare for it. That's what defence mechanisms are for.
Well, Tom, we really appreciate you coming in and sharing your memories of that day with us so vividly. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.